Talofo. Welcome, everyone, to IQ Talanoa tonight.
Welcome.
In the studio, we have myself, Mata Neil Mangalei.
Chum! Maureen Fepoleai.
Epi Mangalei.
And Ipolani Mangalei.
Right on. Listeners, tonight we're going to start the show off with a gratitude round, and then we'll go straight into our topic. So if I can, kick us off, and then I'll
kick us off.
Turn to my left after
kicking us off.
Okay. I am grateful for this week for being a part of the AFA production. It's a show that all Aurere College have put together, and they asked for dancers, and so I am allowed to be the driver to pick up these dancers.
Oh, you're not the dancer?
No, unfortunately.
Thank you,
I'm
Lord.
Not talented enough to be that, but I get to work with amazing high school students and, like, straight off school leavers who are involved in this production. I love it because I get to meet with different diverse high schoolers and those that have just left, and they're teaching me so much more about their point of view in life today. So that's my gratitude. Thanks you to the AFA production crew. Right, to my left, let's go, Ipolani.
For this week, I am very grateful for my family, and
I was going to say, how support. Many families do you have?
Sorry, I only have the one.
Okay, good to know.
As well as the talents that I've been blessed with through dance and music.
Ooh. Oh, she's going to dance for us later tonight. All right,
nice.
Awesome. Can't wait to see that.
I'm also grateful for the AFA production as well. I had the opportunity to be one of the dancers, so.
Boop, boop.
Yeah, it was like it's been a really hard week, but I'm really grateful and I'm really excited to see the end results when we do end up performing for our families.
Beautiful.
Fantastic.
I'm glad you're the dancer and not your mother. For me, I'm grateful for so many wonderful things in my life. I recently started a new job.
Ooh, and, do tell.
I'm working at MIT in Manukau. And I'm very grateful to be able to secure this job so that I can, pay some bills and get some of those, repoed stuff back.
But then you get to touch the lives of
then
the
I get
children,
to touch the lives of the
young
students.
Adults. Yes, because they're not children anymore. They're
absolutely
young adults.
So let's move on. Okay. Let's move on.
All right, let's go through our topic for today. The topic for Talanoa today is returning to school
2021.
Yay. We are so excited to welcome to the studio today Ipolani, Epi Rosalina, and then, of course, myself and Maureen.
Yay.
You can stop it now. Their heads are getting bigger.
Right.
So, ladies, can I please ask you to introduce yourself? What do you want our listeners to know about you? And then we will dive into our talanoa. You could paper, rock, scissors, but because you're on my left, Ipo, you won. Okay, ready? You go
nice.
First.
You're the winner.
So my name is Ipolani Mangalei.
Uh-huh.
I am 17 years old, and I am currently year 13 at Papatoa High School.
Mm. Anything else you want to share before? Okay.
Thank you, Ipo.
Fantastic.
My name is Epi Mangalei. I am 14 years old. I am a 14. Year 10 at Papatoa Toi High School.
Papatoa represent.
Yeah, and I like to sing, and I'm really good at playing sports.
Wow. Gorgeous. Are you good at singing too?
I hope so.
Oh, right.
So you take after your dad, not your mum, eh?
Yes, absolutely. Beautiful. I totally agree with that one.
Okay, let's go straight after those. Thank you for those introductions, girls. So as we near the end of January here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, we are preparing our children. And for those of us queens who are studying, we're returning back to school over the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Today's Talanoa will highlight some of the things a student is considering, especially because 2020 was such a disruptive year for our students here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and around the world because of
COVID-19.
Dun, dun.
We will also hear about some things that we as parents or guardian queens need to consider about preparing our children to return to school. We will also hear Talanoa from a viewpoint of an educator.
That's Matanio Mangalei.
Please feel free. Okay, one error. Wow. Okay, moving on. Please feel free to send us any of your questions via Messenger or on the IQ Talanoa Facebook page.
Sounds good. So, to kick it off, ladies, I'd like to ask you, Epi and Ipo, a question. And I'll go to Epi first to answer and then to Ipo. Okay. How are you feeling as you begin a brand new year in high school?
Well, this is only my second year in high school, so I'm still trying to find my place in school. So I'm a bit nervous about that, but I'm really excited to see my friends that I didn't get to have the time to see last year because of COVID. But then hopefully this year will be much more relaxed, hoping that COVID-19 doesn't come back.
Sure.
So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, neat. Cool. And when you said that you look forward to seeing your friends, so last year was so disruptive that, you know, relationships would have been, you know, off and on. Have you made new friends during, you know, the time away from being able to meet your friends face to face?
I could say that I made a better friend of my family that I had to be with for that COVID.
Wow.
Yeah. 1 point for mom.
Yay. Thank you, Epi.
I wasn't talking about afterwards.
Okay. Thank you, Epi. I love that insight. Thank you, honey. Ipo.
Starting my last year at school, I can't believe I've been at that school for, you know, five years. Right?
But it's your final year, honey.
Yes, it's my final year.
High school.
NCA level 3, here we go.
Woo!
But going into 2021, I have mixed feelings. I'm excited for, you know, a new year, which means new subject studies, new opportunities to, you know, make friends as well as find ways to create change within our school.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also worried about curriculum changes as the byproduct of COVID-19.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Mm. Thank you for that insight.
Well, I was going to just jump on something that Epi mentioned, finding your place. So, you know, being in a school that you're returning to, and even though half of your year last year was at home with your family, who you've grown to love more because you spend more time with them, how would you, as a returning student, what would you give as advice to year nines that are coming in? You know, you remember very vividly what it was like being a year nine. What would you think of to tell a year nine?
Good question.
Coming into the school that you've just experienced as a year, like some advice.
Well, in any school, stick with your friends, honestly. But do, like, come out. Just try and make new friends, but don't put yourself out there as much, only because you just started and some seniors may not like it. But, you know, just involve yourself in, like some sports and, like, you know, the, like, things you would do as a student. Because the older you get, the more harder, like, the academics is for you.
Right. So in other words, enjoy year nine, make heaps of friends.
Yeah, definitely.
But keep a low profile. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, if you already have that popularity coming into, like, you know, high school, because there is a couple girls and boys that do have that, like their reputation coming from intermediate. Just remember that when you do come into high school, there's always going to be someone higher than you in that, like, type of food chain thing, like in popularity type. So don't come into high school, like, you know.
Like you're the man?
Yeah,
Just
that's, because that's also creates a lot of drama and you don't really need that in your first year of high school.
Oh, is that something that you've observed or experienced yourself?
Experienced and observed,
sure. Yeah. No, thank you, Epi. What do you want to say to that, Ipo, having been in high school, you know, a couple more years than Epi? And you're a senior, so some seniors may not like that.
I'd say that's pretty true. I mean, I can't speak for the rest of the seniors in my year, but I can definitely see that there are some juniors who come in thinking that they, you know, are better than everyone just because, you know, they're younger and fresh. But, you know, I think it's just learn to respect those who are older than you. And if things do happen, you know, listen to them because, you know, sometimes they may know better than you. Mm. But other than that.
Oh, interesting. Thank you. No.
So good. Finding your place is quite, and you know, something you have to navigate, not just the school subject, but just, you know, the social circle. You talk about a food chain. That's interesting. Okay. So,
Well, I just want to touch on, you said stick with your friends, mm-hmm. yeah? So sometimes in intermediate, you may be with friends that maybe aren't so good for you, and maybe coming into high school is an opportunity to make new friends. Yeah. I just want to share a little quote that came to mind when you said that. And this is a quote from a grandmother, okay, people? So it's somewhere I heard, show me your friends and I will show you your future. Meaning, what kind of friends are you choosing to have around you, and what kind of influence are they going to be for you in school? But thank you, darling.
Wow, that's an awesome thing to think about, because your friends do actually help pave the way with you, right? You're hoping that they're the friends that will uplift you and will give you the good guidance or push towards your awesome, your future. All right, here's my question. What did you find most difficult as a student throughout the disruptions of 2020? I'm going to point first to Ipolani, because she was sitting NCA level 2 last year. So we've got a perspective of NCA student here. Tell us. Tell it all.
So for me, NCA level 2 was pretty hard during COVID-19 lockdown. As quarantine increased in days and weeks and then turned into months, I started realizing my lack of motivation to carry out at-home study, and then the increase of procrastination went skyrocketing. Due to my lack of motivation to do schoolwork, as well as my focus started, you know, deteriorating. But I think it's just due to the fact that there was no physical, you know, interaction with people. And the only way to interact with others was through a video call. And I don't do well with, you know, talking or being with people through a screen.
You prefer that face-to-face flesh.
Definitely.
Sure.
And so I grew to understand that that's what I, you know, that's the way that I learn is through the face-to-face, in-person interaction.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about you, Epi?
So I was a part of a couple of sports in my year 9. So I was really into my rugby season.
Yes.
And we had, like, about, like, 3 weeks of some good games. But then, like, probably, like, our second or third lockdown that we had just kind of killed it.
Of course.
And it's just like, oh, I really wanted to play. Like, this is, like, my way of showing, like, this is, like, I'm putting myself out there. And then having COVID, like, shut that down was kind of like, oh.
Stink.
Yeah, it was kind of like, of course. It was kind of like a shutdown. It was kind of like, oh, wow. Guess the world doesn't want me to play rugby.
sure.
So we've heard from Ipo about the educational toll, study toll, and we've heard from you about the sports and social toll that it took. As Pasifika Queens, in your Pasifika home, lucky your mum's not in the studio.
Oh, yes, no,
but
definitely. She's not here.
She's not like.
So as Pasifika Queens, how difficult did you find it to be, I'll say, stuck? Because we were stuck in our bubbles at home as a young Pasifika Queen, but also as someone who was expected to keep doing schoolwork.
For me, it was extremely hard because not only did I have to manage, you know, paying attention, staying focused, as well as managing the schoolwork and the school load, but I also had to, you know, make dinner, help clean the house, do, you know, the regular chores and the garden work on top of that. But then it kind of died down as we started realizing how important it was for self time, you know, me time throughout the week. So
is it something that you had to tell mum and dad you needed, or that you all realized as a family, or what?
It was a bit of both. I realized it as myself, but then the family kind of, you know, started staying in their rooms a bit more, which meant I get a little bit more of my own time doing the things that I enjoy instead of having to focus on book work and, you know, writing essays.
Sure. How about you, Epi? How did you find it?
For me, it was more like, it was just like, you know, the background noises that you would have when you're in classes. But it was just, it was all right for me, only because my teachers, or well, my math teacher and or the most, really just kept it to our school schedule. So he made sure that every day that we did have maths in school, that we would have it online. So that also helped me with, like, you know, the math subject,
which is your favorite really subject needed. Now?
Not technically, no. but I do love my teacher.
Oh, awesome. So in terms of the L important. In that, how did having to be stuck at home, how did that kind of maybe impact on your studies or even yourself? Having to be, you know, now you can't run away to school or sports practice when mum and dad need you to clean your room or whatever.
It was just... I had to make time for myself, so I usually just be like, oh, I have a Zoom meeting when I don't really, and just be like...
So the confessions are coming out.
Oh, yes. only some.
The honesty.
But
you needed to do that.
Yeah,
you
to have my own time, But I was really glad that we had a decent term so I could catch up with all my schoolwork get up there to get my achievements that I did have this year.
So then what do you think parents or guardians can do better to support their students and their families as they return to school this year? What do you think our Indigenous parents or guardians can do better to support from your own experience?
Just like if they do need help them, but then do not push yourselves onto them. If they're like, if you can see they're doing work, don't be like, oh, hey, are you doing your work? And just getting that reassurance, just first, like, just look at them and do what's like trying to see what they are doing before you do like trying to button, because that could also like push them away, or like just like lose their train of thought. So then it's just, I was kind of interrupted a couple of times when I was like, you know, like really focused into schoolwork, like really determined, and then they'll come and be like, oh, you have to go do the dishes, or you have to go hang the laundry, go do your chores, and I'll be like, oh, I was like, there's this, like,
I nearly solved the world's problems, and you've just come and told me to do the dishes.
I was
so sounds like better communication.
Better communication
between you and
the parents.
How about you, Ipo? What do you think parents can do better to... And this is a question from one of our parents out there.
I guess it would probably... There's a few points, but one of them would be take the time to get to know your child outside of school studies. You know, check on them physically, emotionally, just to make sure that they're okay, and if... they need any help, that, you know, reassure them that you're there to support them. But also know the balance between providing support as well as giving us space to, you know, do our stuff, do our craft, whatever it is that we need to do. But I think it varies for different children,
for sure.
Different youth, and that's where getting to know your children a bit better would come into play.
So when I was a parent, I went to, I went to every single performance, game, whatever my child was involved in, I made sure I was there right up to year 13.
That's cool.
And uni.
That's cool.
So this is a different generation. You are a different generation from my own children.
Yeah.
Is that something that you welcome having your parents or your guardians, or well, for you two, parents, as involved as possible, or is I don't know what the current environment is.
What's the cool thing for parents?
For me, it's kind of like it's cool to have your parent there, but just hoping that your parent doesn't go overboard or like, you know,
like your mother does.
Yes, kinda, yeah, yes. Or like would go up and beyond.
Define overboard.
Like go up to the coach or to whoever is like put like. Planning this stuff out and be like, you could have done this better or just this and that. But then not knowing, like, what they had to do to get to that point and true, maybe just true. There was a couple of mishaps that they couldn't be able to do because of the lack of time, because of COVID as well. Or just, like, the amount of, yeah, time they had to plan it and it's, like, it's all right to have a little bit of this and that. But it is... it's really nice to see when you're really feeling down at these types of stuff that your parents are there, like, cheering you on, hopefully cheering you on and not being like, you need to go get that ball. You didn't
get
that ball.
Like,
why are you doing that? It's like,
wait till you get home.
Yeah, it's like, no, like, happy meal for you. It's kind of just... but it's sometimes in a kid's life that they kind of do need that type of support only just because in that space of time they might have needed that to, for extra motivation, especially in sporting, but just don't go overboard to the fact that, or to the point that they don't really want to play it anymore. But then also just being there, like, and just like cheering for them in the happy, in the happiest you can, and being proud of them in that moment, and just to repeat and keep reminding them that you are proud of them, because some kids really do need that. So, yeah.
Thank you, Epi. Awesome. How about you, Ipo?
Pretty much what Epi touched on. Personally, I don't mind having that that support from my parents, because then it helps me know that they're there for me and that they support me full, like, you know, wholeheartedly. But like Epi said, sometimes, you know, they can go a bit overboard. But sometimes overboard is good because, you know, it'll take your mind off of things that happen maybe on the field, on the court, or in the studio. And so just that, you know, that tiny bit of overboard will bring you back out into reality, out of your brain, out of your, you know, your thoughts. And it'll just, you know, kickstart something else, some other
that.
Inspiration.
That little overboard may bring you out of the, you know, out of your own thoughts or not good feelings too, and just kickstart a nice reality. I like that, Ipo. I just want to ask a quick question here before we go to our educator. In terms of your well-being, so I know that Epi said her maths teacher was really diligent and kept in touch in terms of schoolwork, and probably you were the same, Ipo. Were there, like, did you and your friends have regular Zoom times, or was there a well-being person within the school who did check-ins with you? Because, you know, as important as school is as a student, so is your well-being. Was there anyone from the school who checked in, you know, on your well-being, or even a group of you as friends or classmates?
Well, for me, my friends didn't really like it, so
Didn't really like what, honey?
We didn't really like that we couldn't see each other or, right. like, just hear each other's voices, because we really, like, interacted and became, like, one as a, like, as a class of girls, or, like, just a group of girls. And our first day of high school, and we're like, oh, yay, we found friends. And, like, our first week of high school, hip hip hooray, or something like that. So we were, it was to the point where we actually videoed called, and we just, like, woke up to each other's faces, and we're like, oh, wow, this is what you look like naturally, you know?
Brilliant, yeah.
So that was really cool in terms of, like, school staff. Well, it was basically, like, my math teacher. It was a couple of times that I did get emailed by the school counselor, which kind of, like, made my heart race. Like, oh, who told, like, it's like, did I get, do something wrong? Did my, like,
did but my... But that was an email.
It was an email, right. It was just, the maths teacher had the video call, and it was, everything else was just emails. So, it was just the emails just, like, sent sent shivers down my spine. I was like, oh, it's counselor. Like, I haven't seen her the whole year.
Or what have I done?
He's like, yeah. It's like, oh, what has my teacher told the counselor about my household? It's just, not in that type of way. It was just,
But those were the thoughts going through your mind.
It was, yeah, it was like the roar is like, oh my gosh, did I do something wrong?
It's like, to get the email.
Yeah, right. And it's just like, I don't really like my school counselors. So it's kind of like, oh, what did I do this time? You know? So it's kind of like, oh, just get this over and done with it. I won't have to see you until like it was school time.
Okay, honey. Thank you.
People. I had a few teachers whenever we did do Zoom calls who would check on the students. I mean, it wasn't one-on-one, but knowing that the teacher was, you know, concerned about how we were doing, our mental health, our mental well-being, as well as our emotional, just how we were doing overall during quarantine, that was really big.
So would you say that maybe if there is another lockdown, what would you hope could be improved on or changed in order to check in on your well-being? Or do you think, no, what they did last time was just fine, the email was just fine, or would you prefer a different mode of contact?
Maybe just because we do have form times, and when you do go to form times, it's more like, oh, for me, I really like my form time teacher, so I would rather have it from her that I see every day than
and is that a video call?
It was a video call, but it was like a constant email just to make sure that we were okay.
Oh, nice.
So that was like, I really enjoyed those emails. Yeah.
Who you're familiar with.
Who I was familiar with and I had seen like every day of the week.
Right.
And like instead of the counselor that I would see like once a term. So it was the constant emails and then the constant worries as well that also helped me through quarantine. So
And your video calls with
calls with my friends
that you guys initiated yourselves. Beautiful people.
I'm not too sure because during quarantine there was moments where I wished someone would reach out, you know, just provide that position that they would like to just hear and, you know, just listen to you vent. And then there are other times where, I didn't want to talk to anyone. I just wanted to be left alone. So I'm not too sure exactly if I would want it to stay the same or if I would want it different.
For sure. So maybe do you think it might be good for high school students to be given, like, resources to say, this is who you can text or video call or contact if you need to talk to someone, and someone who's at your level.
Definitely.
Yeah. And not necessarily from school.
Yeah.
Yes.
From another organization that is focused, for youth support and that. Okay. Pap Toi Hai and all the other schools, I hope you're listening.
So, girls, can I just ask? So I'd made some notes here from hearing both of you speak. Lack of motivation. I mean, I only understand that if that's you face-to-face, you get motivated by the presence of being in, with other people. But having to move from face-to-face interaction to online interaction, I thought, I mean, this is me, though, as an educator, thinking, that's okay, you're still connecting to a student, but actually you're not really connecting, right? Because you're just from screen to screen.
Yeah.
And I didn't make that connection until I've just heard that. But then because motivation isn't truly there, procrastination comes in, right? Because I also work with kids who they wait until the last minute and then they'll say, okay, what standards do I need to approve or, get before I can achieve this or, that kind of thing. How can we change that or how can we encourage students that are going back to school and it's face-to-face?
Is that we as educators?
Yeah, but then to hear from you guys, how can we as educators help the students pick up or keep up that motivation so that procrastination isn't something that they'll wait until the last minute to start putting things together? Because I've seen, putting it out there. What do you guys reckon?
Well, for me, I like to keep at least like a couple of days before it's due, only because my brain works faster. and more ideas come. But it also helps with face-to-face. You can also, there's no like Wi-Fi interruptions, so you can actually be competitive with the other people in the class. That's what keeps me motivated, because I'm a sporty person and I'm competitive. Mm. But then also, just some of the assignments were like, yeah, it wasn't as related to our age as like others were. Like we would have to watch a movie that we picked. And just do something like a review about it, and that was fun. But then there was some of them where it was just like, you have to like create a poem about this and that. But it's like, maybe just for me, it's just to keep the fun and the interaction between the student and the teacher constant, instead of just like, oh, here, this is what you have to do and go do it. Mm-hmm. It's more like be there and just like walk them through it, but then also like have something there so that they can do while you're doing it, so it keeps them like occupied and doesn't like make them go to sleep and stuff. You know?
It sounds like, you know, maybe some of it could be a little more creative to keep you, for your learning style, Epi, engaged and motivated to do that task. Mm. Whereas when you were asked to pick a movie that of your choice, you found it more relatable to the assignment for you.
Yeah.
And how about you, Ipo? And this is what educators can do to help
keep children motivated, so that procrastination is something that not waiting till the last minute, or not waiting till the last, like, you know, everybody going through NCEA.
Or can something be done by the educators too?
We won't know how to improve unless we get feedback from kids that have faced it.
Or just thinking about how to, you know, word this in a way that makes sense. So for me, procrastination will always be there, and I'm definitely one of those students who would leave things to last minute, just because, you know, sometimes if an exam or something is due, you know, 2 weeks away, you're like, oh yeah, I got heaps of time to work on this. Mm. As well as when you go to work on it early, sometimes inspiration doesn't strike until, you know, late at night. Mm-hmm. And by the time it's late at night, you're like, oh, I'm really tired. Mm, and, you know, sleep is important.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But also, there are other times where inspiration doesn't strike until, you know, 3 or 4 days before the assignment is due.
Is it inspiration or desperation? It's okay.
I hear you. Maybe both.
Yeah.
Like, for example, as an art student at school, I wasn't able to create my artworks at home, as I didn't have resources at home that I could, you know, fall back on for inspiration, or I didn't have my art teacher who could, you know, guide me into a resource or a place where I could, you know, pick and choose ways to create something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I got to school and I had the interaction with my classmates and the face-to-face interaction also with my art teacher that I was able to create like several artworks the week before my board was due.
Mm.
And so personally, I'm really proud of that I was able to complete my board, but it's just looking back, I wish I was better prepared with ideas while I was at school, so that when quarantine did strike, I had ideas already planned, ready to create. So
okay.
I think one way for educators to support the support the student would be to, I don't know, help and provide support and ideas to help combat their procrastination, and then try and make sure that they follow through with those, to make sure that if they do procrastinate, they can always come back and then refocus on what they're meant to do.
I'm wondering, would you have found maybe some of the online teaching from your teachers more, easier to engage with, had it been done in fun, creative ways?
Yes.
Like videos, or, you know, just with all the technology available.
Exactly.
Wow.
For me, yes, because I am a very visual, practical type learner.
Sure.
And so any idea or any way that I can activate that creative side of my brain will help me remember and apply those, whatever we learned in that lesson, into my daily life so that I can remember it for future times.
Neat. It sounds like maybe also educators just may need some more upskilling where technology is concerned.
Yeah, definitely. So here's a parent question. So you guys talked about you love the support of parents to be there, but then not to be there, and then how to gauge whether or not to interact with your child, like setting up a schedule. Like, so for me, I remembered just always checking on the girls, have you done your homework? And then I would leave it at that, but I wouldn't myself come and sit next to you to say, tell me how this works. Is that the kind of parent support you're looking at should this happen again? Because, you know, to be honest, many parents that I've worked with or have come to speak, they don't know how to help their kids.
So, it's true.
They don't really know what questions to ask. Mm-hmm. And from what I've heard from the both of you is, yes, teachers need to get to know their kids, but then also parents need to know how best to navigate that support at home and know that it's in a safe environment. See, I just learned that from Effa as well, is that when you're in a safe place, you hear what's being said and you're not judging.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a hard thing, because in a Pasifika life, I mean, I remember us growing up, mum and dad would always ask, have you done your homework? The answer was always yes, even though sometimes it wasn't.
Yes.
But then, you know, when
absolutely.
They say, can I help? And I'm like, nah, you don't know what we're doing in school. You have no idea. Because basically mum and dad didn't know. But how can parents now still stay engaged so that we as parents can, you know, help with that motivation? Because teachers can't do it alone, eh?
Yes. I think a way that parents can help with that motivation would pretty much be what you said. Maybe just have a sit down with the child and ask how ways that, you know, that they think or they feel that their parent can provide support. And if the parent sitting down helping the student right next to them will help provide that support, then by all means, that's how you provide that support. But it all depends on the way that the youth learns. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Epi?
Yeah, basically just like Epo said, just every youth has a different way of learning and a way of, you know, doing their homework. So get to know your child and, like, what they do and, like, how they act when they do homework. Especially when people are, like, people my age are doing their homework, you can see, like, if they're frustrated on their faces. So maybe when you, like, kind of have, like, a parent tingle or whatever it's called. When
a
you,
parent tingle? That's
or, like,
a new one.
When you get, like, a spidey sense type noise.
Spidey.
That's
spidey. Keep going, girl. Keep going.
When you can tell that you're, like, your son or your daughter or your child is, like, in distress or, like, having a really hard time on a question, that you just come in and be like, hey, is there anything I can help with? But then when you know that your child prefers to be alone and that type of stuff, let them be alone, because when you push yourself onto them, it just has that mindset of, like, I want to be left alone. Like, please don't come in and, you know, disturb my aura and stuff.
Ooh, aura.
So,
because you're in the zone.
Yeah, because you're in your zone. Right. And you're like, I was focusing on this. I don't need someone coming and barking at me like, hey, do you need help with your homework and stuff? So it's, it all depends on the individual and how they get their stuff done for themselves. Because at the end of the day, it's their results and not the parents.
Yeah.
Oh, so, man.
Yeah.
Whose name is on the certificate? So
mine.
Another question.
Wow.
In choosing subjects for the new year, I mean, a lot of families or parents will want their children to be a certain, you know, what do you call it, career path.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that parents should be considering when they are encouraging their children to choose subjects for school? What's your point of view, guys?
Well, it's kind of like the last question. It always depends on the child, because if you choose the subjects for them, they will not like it if they do not like it. You cannot force a subject onto them. There's a lot of high schools that, like, have language as a subject, and a lot of the parents of kids that I am in year with, they're like, I was forced to do Samoan because my mom wants me to learn the mother tongue of our family. But then they don't want to do it, so they don't have the motivation to do well in that subject. And because of the lack of motivation, they have to go home and be like, or the parent will be like, you've been growing up in a Samoan-speaking household. Like, how did you get this and that? It's only because the kid did not want to do it. So it's kind of, yes. But if you do, if the parent and the child has the same vision for their education, then by all means do it. But when the kid has a desire to do another subject instead of the subject that you haven't planned for them, it also, you just want to have the best and the best pathway for your kid to have, to know that they will be happy in their future, because it's, and like at the end of the day, it's their life and their future that they are working towards, and it's not yours.
So from the parental point of view, I'm paying the school fees, I'm paying for your lunch, I'm paying for the clothes on your back. It sounds to me communication needs to be safe between the parent and the child.
Yes.
And if the parent just comes in, I, then of course, like you said, the child's going to either rebel or just not do their best, knowing that, oh, you're not even listening to me. Epo, what do you have to add? Epi, that was fabulous.
Speaking from personal experience, I would say, oh, this is going to sound really bad, but...
No, nothing bad. You're in a safe space, bub.
For the child or for the youth, the student who is choosing their subjects, know what you enjoy, know what your passion is, and if your passion doesn't line up with whatever expectations or ideals that your parents have, talk to them, explain to them, you know, why you think this passion is your passion. Explain to them that this is what you want to do when you grow up. I mean, yes, your parents pay your fees, but they can't pay for your future. You know, they cannot pay for your career. You can't pay someone to give you a job. And at the end of the day, it's your future. And you're going to be stuck with the choices and the subjects that you choose at school. So, yeah. Like Epi said, talk with your parents. If you're on the same page, it's amazing.
That's awesome thing, yep.
But if you're not, find a compromise that you can, you know, do both what you are passionate about and what you enjoy, but also making sure that you keep what your parents wanted you to do, I guess.
For sure. I mean, I know, speaking for myself, my experience was one of my children wanted to go away to a broadcasting school that was at the other side of New Zealand, of Aotearoa, and I said no. Because my fear overcame, you know, what she wanted to do. And so all I saw was, no, you're not going to be safe. I'm not going to be there. Who's going to feed you? Who's going to clothe you? If you're attacked, you know, you're away from your mummy.
Right, right.
And also, how is it going to feed you? How are you going to be a teacher? So old school Samoan, we have these ideas of, if you're a teacher, you have a good career. If you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor. Nothing else, especially in the performing arts, Angel. Nothing, no, you're not going to, not going to have, you know, be able to afford to look after yourselves.
Right, right. Exactly.
So those are the conversations our parents need to be having, not just with you, but with each other as well.
Right.
So that, you know, we share ideas and begin to adjust that mentality that we inherited from our parents.
Right, right.
Yes.
Yeah?
I'd say, going off of that story, you know, sometimes you'd have to let your child go and experience the world for themselves in order for them to develop that independence. And so I see what you mean by you don't want them to go in fear of, you know, them being hurt, them being exposed to things that, you know, they shouldn't be exposed to, about, you know, being attacked and stuff. But for me, that's sometimes the only way that they can experience their independence, learn to care for themselves, learn to
be self-reliant.
Mm. So, yeah.
And absolutely, because the flip side of my fears is all the amazing things that will happen. Like you said, man, you're going to learn how to pay for your own place, how to budget for your food, how to, you know, recycle your clothes.
Yes.
But for many of us Pacifica parents, we only focus on that one side, the negative side of the coin, not realizing opposite are so many beautiful, beautiful things that will come, you know. Exactly. Mm. So, Neil, as an educator, for our parents, so you're put on your educator hat.
Yes.
As an educator, what do you want to say to the Indigenous parents or guardians and how they can prepare their school, their children to begin school this year? Mm. Like, you know, in terms of what are their obligations and communicating with the school,
right?
Things like that, that we probably would think, well, they're off to school, right? They'll take care of my child. Yeah. But what do you want our Indigenous parents to know?
Well, for me, in preparing the girls to get back to school, I know I've had to double check with, like, the practical side. Do their uniforms still fit them? And if not, oh my gosh, there goes another paycheck to get the uniforms. And then what's their stationery list? So there you go, you've got to balance out. As much as we've all just started back at work, we've got bills to pay because we let December slide because December was party month, and now it's back to reality that we have to make sure we've got those things in place so that their first day of school they're not walking in embarrassed because they don't have the right uniform, or they're trying to squeeze into last year's uniform and it doesn't fit, or that they've only got a pencil, or they don't even have a pencil, or they don't even have an exercise book walking into school. You know, those things make a child feel really apprehensive about going back to school. There are children that won't even go back for the first week because those things aren't in place. So to have them start an awesome year, just have those practical things in place.
Uniform, stationery. At least for that first week.
For that first week to go back so that they get a good kickstart from the get-go.
Now, uniforms are not cheap. So what options do our parents have? Like, does your school sell uniforms? Are there second-hand places?
Well, I already have that. They have children that have left from year 13 and they've brought their kids' uniforms back to the school because they have that system within the community where
most schools should have that option.
Yeah. And I'm not sure what most schools do have, but there is always a reason. There's always a chance for families to call into the school and ask for that because they want to support children coming back to school on the first day.
Another thing I've seen on Facebook, especially in our community in Papakura, people offering. Their child has outgrown their intermediate uniform, but they're starting college. Right. So, hey, I've got uniforms that are free or for cheap. So look on Facebook, ask in your community pages, ask within your churches as well.
Yes.
Sorry, Neil, I'll let you keep going.
That's good. Like what we've just heard now from the girls, they've said, as a parent, know your child. I mean, the last thing you want them to do is to go back into a school year and you are forcing them to do something that they really don't want to do. And yes, we want the best for our kids, but not everyone is born to be a doctor or a brain surgeon or a, a rocket scientist.
Or they might not even know what they want to be.
Yeah, it's true. And if they are undecided, it's okay to say, all right, bub, let's try all these different things, and then just to be there for them. Yeah. I know, and most of the time is just to listen. I mean, as an educator, right, so you want to be able to have the children come into your, not really your classroom, it's a shared space, and to feel safe that they know that if I did have a question that's not curriculum related, the connection the teacher can have with that child is more important than a child getting an excellence or merit or an achieved, or even just their attendance. That connection that a teacher can have with a child is 100% more important, because then the child will feel safe, the child will excel, the child will do everything they can in that safe space, and they will blossom. And if every teacher had that in their pocket with that view in mind, then the child will excel in everything because they know that the teacher has their back in every sense of the word, not just because at the end of the day, their report is going to show everyone in my class passed. Yeah, that's a great pat on the back for the teacher, but what does that do for the individual child?
Especially with different styles of learning and different levels of understanding. Definitely. So as a parent, if I wanted to come into the school, what is to talk about my child or even to create an action plan, what can I do at home to better support my child through the next lockdown or, you know, as they go through year 10 or in April's case year 13, who would they speak to?
So every school have school deans. Would that be right, girls? You have school deans?
Yes.
And as much as the girls don't like their school counsellor, there are also school counsellors that help. But and it's not just for the child, it is also support for the family. So there's no such thing as a dumb question. Anything that you are unsure of, call it in and ask. And if you don't get happy with that answer, then you ask for the next person. Just say, actually, you're not answering my question. Can you send me to whoever it is that, you know, does help with support because I don't have my stationery yet? Who else can I speak to?
Mm-hmm. What if language is a barrier? What can the parent do? How can they communicate with the school?
Ideally, there are families in the community that also share your language, just so that you could have somebody as your support to come into the school.
Nice, yes.
Your children may have if mum and dad aren't comfortable speaking English, their child can speak on their behalf. Mm-hmm. And we believe our children and we want the best for them, so we know that what's being shared is going to be of benefit to the child.
Absolutely, yes.
So, ask questions. There is no such thing as a dumb question. I mean, even if it's like, my daughter doesn't like the math teacher, what are you going to do about it? I had to hold myself back from asking that a couple of years ago for two of my kids, actually. But my daughter stopped me. She said, no, Mum, I can sort this out. And so I had to, you know, leave it to the Lord. And, she came back. She changed her teacher and she was so much happier. So I know that having to leave them to do it, but I was so ready to take my guns blazing to say, why are you?
Sometimes the child, the student, is able to go and sort it out.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
It might be a good idea to let the parent or the guardian know so that they, know they are supported. But I also, because my mum has been a teacher before she retired for many years, as well as Neil here, and also our sister Jenny did support teaching. It's not easy being on the teaching side of things, So I think communication, even with the counsellors, it may not be that you don't not like the counsellors, it may just be you don't have a relationship with them anyway. So why am I now being contacted? I think it's so important that communication is established, respectful, but also active so that you hear the person who's talking to you, or you understand what is being said without jumping to, oh my gosh, you know, they're disrespecting me. It's about, I think, listening, eh? Mm. So girls, as we come to with our time, I'd like you to think of one thing that you'd like to leave. And we'll play a song first. We'll just have a song going. And after the song, I'd like you to think of one thing you'd like to leave our listeners. And it can be anything that you have in your heart to share. And the song we're going to play is from our Indigenous queen, Pink. Ooh. Bingiki. She's Samoan because her real name's Bingiki.
Yes.
And her song is perfect. And I'm not really into the music of today's youth. But I listened to the lyrics of this beautiful song and I loved it.
Okay.
And I'd like to ask you if we can play this
while the
girls think about their takeaway talanoa for everyone.
Right, we're good.
Okay, here we
go.
Pink with Perfect.
Bad decisions. That's
all right. Welcome to my silly life. Mistreated, displaced, misunderstood. Misknowing it's so good, it didn't slow me down. Mistaken, always second guessing. Underestimated, look, I'm still around. Pretty, pretty, please, don't you ever, ever feel like
And we are on.
Thank you, Madam Piniki. All right, girls, we're going to have you give your final words of advice to our listeners out there. What do you want to leave us with for today, starting with Ipo?
So my message to the adults who are listening, take time to connect with your children, understand, you know, their mentality, their mindset, and then find ways to work around it, work with them. To any youth that are listening in, take time for yourself. Remember that there are people around you who are there to support you and help you. Yeah. Just make sure you look after yourself as well as those around you.
My Lord, beautiful people.
Jay Lover, thank you, darling.
So my message is basically directed to the youth. Is to connect with your parents, because your parents are most likely going to be there at the end of the day, to appreciate the little things that they do for you and that you do for yourself, because, you know, when you are older, you may not have the opportunity for your parents to be there and to do the little things that you thought were normal. And so when you do move out, you're going to be like, oh, my parents usually do this. So, you know. Appreciate the little things, and to try in anything that you do have and that you do put your mind to, and when you do put your name down for something, try your best to be a part of that.
Beautiful.
And do not abandon what you had put yourself into.
And to
acknowledge your trials and your mistakes, because you can grow from them. Because, you know, when you don't acknowledge it, it's like it's almost not there.
Mm.
So when you acknowledge it, you acknowledge that you had gone through that time, and just try to grow from it. And if you can't do that by yourselves, like, bring in an adult to help you, mm-hmm. or just a friend to help you, or a couple of friends if you need to. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Cool. Beautiful. My gosh, amazing. How about
Thank
you, Reen?
You.
How do you want to finish up?
Well, actually, I just wanted to say that we had a third person who we were expecting, a beautiful nurse, but she's unwell today, so she wasn't able to make it. But we look forward to having another session with her. And I had asked a question in the IQ Talanoa Facebook page for any mature students to get back to me and answer some questions. So I had about 12 amazing queens get back to me. So I have chosen not to share their reflections because we just don't have time. We're going to have our own whole hour show of these amazing, brave, courageous reflections. And I'm going to try my best to get them to record it in their own voices. Otherwise, we're okay to read too. So what I would like to leave is to say that, you know, today is very different. We've been shown through 2020 how quickly things can change. Mm-hmm. We have the technology to adapt our ways of teaching, our ways of engagement, mm-hmm. and our ways of relating, not only to the student, but to their families as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's very important for us as educators and whatever way you connect with students, that we need to up our game when it comes to our technology, skill and understanding. I'm sure your schools or your institutions would be happy to help you to upskill. And I am so sure that the lockdowns of last year are not going to be something that is in the past. We have, you know, we just found out there's a possible Northland case. And so these things, you know, that are happening, we need to better prepare as educators. But for parents also, you know, don't feel bad. You're learning how to navigate this as much as your child is as a student. This is a whole new era in education. So, you know, you're not alone. And I'm so proud of all the students out there who soldiered through 2020, especially those who had to sit exams. So ma lo lava alofa tele atu. That's me.
Okay, my leaving message is NCEA results are out there. So it's a tremendous way for you to connect to your child. If you say, baby, show me your results, I will hold your hand, give you a KFC bucket because you're just amazing.
Is that a KFC bucket for us?
Is that available? I was just saying to parents out there.
So the NCEA results are out. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
They are out.
And how do they access them?
So schools can have them on. I mean, they're already in the system within the schools. You can call your school and find out through your school, or your child will have access to them through their own portal if the schools have them set up that way. But
so now that Neil has opened up this can of worms...
It's not a can of worms.
The NCEA results, go gentle on your child. They have just survived a year of 2020 education, which even for adult students, for workers from home, is stressful, it's anxiety... It is just crazy. So go gentle on your child. There is help and support out there for you. And Neil's going to let you know.
So there's the NZQA website, and in that you can find NCEA results for your child because your child has a special school number. You type in that school number and it will give you the results. So I'm going to say that again, NZQA website. And we'll find the NCEA results with your child's school number.
And before Neil gives us our announcement, parents who are about to ask their child to show them their NCEA reports, do what I'm telling you. Breath in.
Everybody
breath
in.
Out. Breath in. Breath out. Go find your Bible, your Book of Mormon, your Quran, whatever brings you peace of mind, go and embrace that publication and then put it down and go and embrace your child.
Amen.
Tell them how much you love them. And here are our announcements
before we
finish
up. So coming up next week, our next time on the 14th of February is our Not Valentine's Day
title.
Not Valentine's Day special.
Meet us back here 14th of February, Sunday. Well, it's Not Valentine's Day. Everybody say your loves to everyone.
Love you.
Shout out to Company 9 from Everswatch.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody.